And we're going to notice something in just a moment. But before I forget, we have one quick announcement to make. Chris is very proud to announce that our website has now been updated and revamped and redone. And as of, I think, midnight last night, it was now up there so that you can actually peruse it. Now, we've got a laptop that we've got trying to connect to the internet connection here in the building, and I don't know why, but for some reason it's trying to not connect. But hopefully, between now and the end of service, Chris will get it connected, and she's inviting you to come find wherever she is, and she's going to have a laptop that'll have our website pulled up, and you can kind of take a look at it. But it's totally redesigned, lots of neat features on it. Chris has been studying and putting it all together, so the whole design is hers. So all the praise needs to be hers. If there's anything wrong with it, it's probably my fault. I don't know why, but it would be. You know, it just has to be, right? So, but it's very good looking, and while it's still a work in progress, and there are some additional features that'll be featured on it. There are some things that are very, very cool about it. So take a look at it if you get a chance. It's Chelsea, C of C, all run together, lowercase, .org. Chelsea, C of C, .org. And if you pick up some of those tracks out there, the tracks have have the church website on it. And there is an actual button on the website that they can press that says tracks. And it says something about the fact that, hey, we're glad you got one of our tracks. And then it's starting the process of teaching them the gospel. So that's something that I think is very cool, and I think you should take a look at. All right. Number 33 in our songbook is a song that I asked Philip to lead before the lesson today. And I did so because this is going to be our theme for the next several weeks in our Sunday morning sermon series. And we're going to look at this because this particular song teaches us something in the Scriptures, from the Scriptures, that we sometimes forget about. What it teaches us is that we are fallen people who live in a fallen world. And because we're a fallen people who live in a fallen world, we sometimes lose track of who actually is in charge and who actually can give us a lot of help. And when one of the ideas in this song is that, you know, there are lots of good things that happen to us, but there'll be lots of bad things that will happen to us as God's people. But God will always be there for us. And that's really what we're going to begin focusing on today. Now, this morning, we're going to actually do something to kind of set the stage. We're actually going to, and I want to encourage you to try to follow along and do it too. We're going to look at 26 blessings from Paul's letters. Now, I want to encourage you to thumb with me through the pages of Scripture and find these as we come across there. If you don't think you can keep up, then I encourage you to jot them down and look them up later. But what we want to do is we want to look at each of these 26 texts, and they are from the Apostle Paul. They are how the Apostle Paul begins and ends all of his letters. He wrote 13 letters in our New Testament, and he begins and ends each one of them with a blessing. And we want to see what that blessing is, and we want to notice a specific element in those blessings, because that's what we're going to be talking about for the next several weeks. All right? So we're going to begin at the end of the writings of Paul, which is the book of Philemon. So I want you to turn to Philemon. The shortest book of the Bible is right next to the book of Hebrews, if you need a little bit of help there. But once you get to Philemon, then we're going to go back the other way the rest of this morning. So we'll be looking at that. But look at Philemon. Look at the very last verse of Philemon. And listen to what he says. He says, and as we listen to all of these, keep in mind, see if you can pick out what it is that is there in every single one of these. Philemon, verse 25. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. That's the last verse of the letter. Now let's go to the beginning of the letter. Go to verse 3 and notice what Paul writes. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. All right. Now moving back to the previous book, to the book Titus, probably just across the page, or maybe you have to turn the page, just one page. Look at the last phrase in the book of Titus. Notice what he says in verse 15 of chapter 3. Grace be with you all. Amen. Now go to the beginning of Titus. Go to Titus chapter 1. And Paul begins. He says, Paul, a bondservant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth, which accords with godliness. All right? But skip on down to verse 4. All right? Look in verse 4. He says, to Titus, a true son in our common faith. Or some translations say, my son, my true son in the common faith. Notice the next line. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. All right? Moving back to the end of 2 Timothy. The end of 2 Timothy. The last verse, chapter 4, verse 22. The Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Grace be with you. Amen. Now go to the beginning of 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verse 1. Verses 1 and 2. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, a beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Okay. Go to the end of 1 Timothy. Go to chapter 6 and verse 21. Grace be with you. Amen. And now to the beginning of the book, chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of our God, of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ, our hope. To Timothy, a true son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God, our Father, and Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, look back at the end of 2 Thessalonians, chapter 3, and verse 18. 2 Thessalonians, chapter 3, and verse 18. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now, go to the beginning of 2 Thessalonians, to chapter 1 and verse 2. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now go back to 1 Thessalonians, the end of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, verse 28. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Now, same pattern. Go to the very beginning of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 1, verse 1, latter part of the verse. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Starting to notice something paralleling here? Okay. Continue. Going on to Colossians. We have just a few more. Colossians. Colossians chapter 4, verse 18. This salutation by my own hand, Paul. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. Amen. Go to the beginning of Colossians. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 2. To the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Go to the end of Philippians. Philippians chapter 4, verse 23. Philippians 4, 23. Bear with me. We're making a point here. Philippians 4, verse 23. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, verse 2. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Go to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6, the end of the letter. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 24. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. Ephesians chapter 1 now. Ephesians chapter 1. Look at verse 2. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Galatians. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 18. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Galatians chapter 1, verse 3. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Go jump over 13 chapters to chapter 1 and verse 2. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 23. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. And the same at the beginning of 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And finally, look at the end of the book of Romans, Romans chapter 16. This one, we have to go actually up a little bit to verse 20, Romans chapter 16 and verse 20. And the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Now, Romans chapter 1, Romans chapter 1 and verse 7. Romans 1 and verse 7. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, we've looked at all those 26 different occurrences where Paul begins and Paul ends each of the letters that he writes that are contained within the New Testament. And what we learn from this pattern that he gives us is that there is only one common link. Grace is the only word that is common to all of these blessings. Now, some have mercy, some have peace, some have love, but all of them have the word grace. And it's important that we understand that both at the beginning and the end of all of his letters, Paul uses the word grace, because this is a bracing trumpet call to us to remind us that grace is the central issue of Christianity. Every letter of Paul begins and every letter ends with grace. Grace is that which envelops or covers the whole of the teachings of all of his letters. The fact is, you could say that grace, the Christian life, begins with grace, and it ends with grace, and it's sustained by grace. Grace is something we need to keep central in our thinking about the Christian life. And the grace we're talking about is God's grace. Most often the blessing says, grace to you and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace is something that comes from God, and it is directed to you and I. But also notice something else. That's the way each of his letters begin, grace to you. But at the end of his letters, he says, grace, may grace be with you. Now, why is he saying those things? Grace to you and grace with you. All of this grace that Paul has in mind when he blesses Christians at the beginning and the end of all of his letters is future grace. Future grace. By that I mean something pretty significant. You see, when you wish something on someone, you're wishing it on them for the future. Meaning that the period of time is to start now and continue on into the future. If I say grace to you from God, then I'm meaning starting right now, I want God's grace to be directed to you and to be with you. That's what Paul was saying. Starting right now, I want the blessings that come from the Father to be to you, directed to you, and to be with you as you live your Christian life. That's what Paul was saying every time he wrote in the New Testament. Now, the death and resurrection were great works of grace. Our becoming Christians and receiving the new birth through faith and repentance and justification as we're united with Jesus in baptism is a great work of faith, of grace, I mean. But those are past works of grace. And sometimes we have the idea that the grace of God began and ended with what Jesus did on the cross and begins and ends in our lives when we're united with Him in baptism and raised up to walk a new life. And it's almost like we say, well, now you're all brand new, brand spanking clean. Now go on and try not to mess it up. When in reality, the grace of God is intended to be there always. See, the heart of the biblical teaching about living the Christian life is that to live as a Christian, we need to learn to depend upon that future grace of God. We need to be confident in it. We need to bank on it. We need to trust in it. We need to know what it is that God says He's going to do. And we need to realize that God is intending to give us that, not because of anything we've done to merit it, but just like the grace that He gave us through Jesus Christ that saves us from our sins, we don't merit that. We don't deserve that. We don't deserve His continuing grace either. But when we know that we have it, then we can press on to living it. These 26 texts all promise future grace and call for it from God because it's the key to Christian living. It's the key to living in such a way that we are able to deal with whatever happens to us in life. Paul expresses it like this. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 10. Paul expresses it like this concerning himself. Paul has been talking about who he is as an apostle of God, as a servant in the kingdom of God. And he says in verse 9, I am the least of the apostles and not worthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. He says, look, I can look back at my life. And at one time, I persecuted the church. I actually went to the chief priest in Jerusalem and I got from them letters that gave me authority to go and search out every Jew that I could find who had declared faith in Jesus Christ and either arrest them or have them killed. And I did that. I persecuted the church. I zealously did it because I did not think that Jesus was the Christ. And then on the road to Damascus, what happened? Jesus visited him. He got struck by light, and Jesus spoke to him. And he then at that point began to understand who Jesus was. And Jesus told him that there will be someone who will come and tell him what he needs to do. And a man by the name of Ananias came, remember? And Paul had been struck blind by the blinding light, been blind for 3 days praying. When Ananias came and told him that God had special plans for him. And God, and Ananias says, now why do you delay? Arise and be baptized, calling on the name of the Lord, and wash away your sins. And Paul has never forgotten that grace that has been given to him. But Paul says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 9, he says, I persecuted the church. I am unworthy to be an apostle, but yet, God called me to be, Jesus called me to be an apostle. And then he gives a key to how he's lived his life. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Now, did you notice what he said? He says, what enabled me to press on, what enabled me to live my life, to even though I was unworthy and I didn't feel like I could accomplish anything, what enabled me to more abundantly live my life was that the grace of God was with me. How did Paul end all of his letters that he's written? May the grace of God be with you. With you. That says to us, when the word has been spoken, what counts is the presence of God with us. God is with us to help us to live our life. God is with us. And we need to depend upon God being with us. Jesus, in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, gives what we generally call the Great Commission. And we all can probably recite it. We know what it says. You know, how all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. What is he saying? He's saying that God, in Jesus Christ, will be with us always to the end of the age. Now, what does that mean? Well, that's what we're going to explore over the next couple of weeks. But I want us to go to Hebrews chapter 4. The passage that was read in our scripture reading. Hebrews chapter 4, because this passage has an enormous amount of encouragement and information in it. And it's basically a summation of one of the premier teachings that's found in the book of Hebrews. Fact is, we really should go all the way back to chapter 2 and notice several things. But let's just go to Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. Let me read it again. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Did you get that? Grace to help in time of need. Now, That particular statement there is one that we really need to take apart. Because in English it means one thing. In the literal translation, it kind of actually amplifies what it means. As we read it in English, it says, look, we can find the grace that we need to help us when we're in need, in that time of need. Literally, what it says, it's grace for a well-timed help when we're in need. In other words, what it's saying is that the help, because grace helps, will be there, but it's a well-timed help. It's a well-timed help. It's the right kind of help at exactly the right time. It will come. It will be there. It will always be there. Because that's the kind of God we serve. Notice also, it says, look, we are weak people. We have weaknesses. And we have a high priest who sympathizes with those weaknesses. In fact, as Jesus was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. He's gone through every single kind of thing we've gone through, but he never sinned. And so, but he understands what the temptation's about. And all of this has to do with the grace of God. Let's go back to chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Alright? Hebrews chapter 2. Go to about verse 14. Okay? Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, in other words, all humanity, we're all flesh and blood. The children he's talking to are all of us who are Christians. All of us who are Christians, who are our future and past and present. All of those who are going to be God's people, we are all flesh and blood. Because we're all flesh and blood, if Jesus is going to be the answer and the help and the grace manifestation that he's supposed to be, then it says, he himself likewise shared in the same. In other words, Jesus became flesh. Over in John chapter 1, look there at John chapter 1 and verses 1 and following. Get to John chapter 1 real quick. Notice what it says. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Alright, so the Word is God, right? Then verse 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Dwelt there is literally tabernacled. He tabernacled among us. And we beheld His glory. Remember, glory is light, spotlighting. We beheld His spotlight. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is the absolute full representation of grace. In fact, this verse 16 says, and of His fullness we've all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Grace. You see, one of the things that we struggle with as God's people is grace. We struggle with it because we don't understand a whole lot about it. We don't understand that grace is something that we need to depend upon because we have been taught from day one that we have to depend on ourselves. If you're going to be successful in this world, you've got to pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. If you're going to be right in this world, you've got to stand on your own two feet. If you're going to be the best in this world, you've got to put your best foot forward. I mean, we do all kinds of sayings that basically tell us that we need to learn to be self-sufficient. We need to learn to stand on our own. We need to learn to be on our own. We need to learn to just do it ourselves. But the key to the Christian life is grace. And the key to grace is that realization that we can't do it ourselves, by ourselves. Paul, in that 1 Corinthians chapter 15 passage, was saying, I am what I am by the grace of God. He was not doing an imitation of Popeye, you know, I am what I am. He wasn't doing that. He was saying, I am who I am because of Jesus Christ. And I continue in my life because of Jesus Christ. If I don't have Jesus Christ in my life, then I can't live my life the way it should be lived. Paul says, I can't do it. Paul said the same thing in a slightly different way in the Galatian letter. Turn to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. And listen to what he says in verse 20. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. Now what Paul is saying is true of every single Christian. A person who is a Christian has been crucified with Christ. When? When we are united with His death. What kind of death did He die? He died a death of crucifixion. We are crucified with Christ when we're united with His death in baptism by faith. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. Romans chapter 6 tells us that we die with Jesus. We are supposed to die and remain dead. We're not supposed to get up and try to be zombies, but often that's what we are. Think about it. We're zombies who try to do it on our own. And the only thing that's true about a zombie is that they're ugly and they're falling apart and they go after brains, I think, in the movies anyway. But you know what? That's not what we're supposed to be. We're not supposed to go it alone. We're not supposed to go it by ourselves. We're not supposed to try to live it by ourselves. Paul goes and says, it's no longer I who lives, but Christ lives in me. What is Christ? Christ is the absolute, full, perfect representation of grace, manifestation of grace. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Notice the next verse. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. In other words, I am not going to set aside the grace of God and try to live it on my own. This is one of the keys to the Christian life that many times we don't grasp. It's grace. It's grace. The grace that is given to us and the grace that will be with us. It is the grace. It is the grace that will help us in a well-timed way when we're in need. It is the grace that will help us when we are suffering, when we are persecuted, when we are tempted, when we are afraid, when we are just trying to get by in this world. We can depend upon the grace of God. Did you know that even our singing together is to remind us of the grace of God? Turn to the Colossians letter, and this is the last place we'll go to this morning, and then the lesson will be yours. Go to Colossians chapter 3, and look at what is said in verse 16. Colossians chapter 3 is one of those passages that talks about what we're to be doing in the body of Christ. He says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Now, that phrase, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord, is not telling us that we need to extend grace to God. And in fact, some translations try to make it that, and they actually translate the word grace as graciousness or gratitude, singing with gratitude in our hearts toward God. But that's not what the word. That's not what the word is saying. It is saying, look, when we extend grace to one another as we're singing, remind each other of the grace of God, that becomes to God an offering that he accepts. Because what is God? He's a God of grace. Maybe that's why we sing a cappella, because, you know, not everybody sings well. So we have to learn to be graceful when we're sitting next to someone who can't sing so well, right? Or when the song leader messes up, like I do sometimes. If I do that tonight, you've got to be very graceful, see? The thing about it is that grace begins and is the middle and is the end of the Christian life. It's all throughout. And we're going to explore that in the next coming Sundays. So we've set the stage for you this morning. And you've got some passages that you can look at and think about and contemplate. And if you really want to get into it for next week, you'll do some study on your own with a concordance and find some passages on grace. But this morning, we want to conclude our time together by extending an invitation of grace to those who may not yet be Christians. That invitation is given by Jesus himself, who desires all men to be saved, who went to the cross for all men, but only those who accept his grace, his gift of grace, will receive salvation. This morning, why not accept that gift of salvation? Why not confess your faith in Jesus as Lord and Christ, the Savior, and be united with his death, and let him begin living in you, the embodiment of grace, while together we stand and sing.